The Phantom Tollbooth by Norton Juster.
Right this way. Follow us.
Come along.
Step lively.
Here we go,
they shouted, hopping from the wagon and bounding up the broad marble stairway. Milo and Tok followed close behind. It was a strange-looking palace, and if he didn't know better, he would have said that it looked exactly like an enormous book standing on end, with its front door in the lower part of the binding, just where they usually place the publisher's name. Once inside, they hurried down a long hallway, which glittered with crystal chandeliers and echoed with their footsteps. The walls and ceilings were covered with mirrors, whose reflections danced dizzily along with them, and the footman bowed coldly.
"Oh, we must be terribly late,"
gasped the Earl nervously as they reached the tall doors of the banquet hall. It was a vast room, full of people loudly talking and arguing. The long table was carefully set with gold plates and linen napkins. An attendant stood behind each chair, and at the center, raised slightly above the others, was a throne covered in crimson cloth. Directly behind, on the wall, was the royal coat of arms, flanked by the flags of Dictionopolis. Milo noticed many of the people he had seen in the marketplace. The letterman was busy explaining to an interested group the history of the W. And off in a corner, the humbug and the spelling bee were arguing fiercely about nothing at all. Officer Schrift wandered through the crowd, suspiciously muttering,
"Guilty, guilty, they're all guilty."
And, on noticing Milo, brightened visibly and commented in passing,
"Is it 6 million years already? My, how time flies."
Everyone seemed quite grumpy about having to wait for lunch, and they were all relieved to see the tardy guests arrive.
"Certainly glad you finally made it, old man,"
said the humbug, cordially pumping Milo's hand.
"As guest of honor, you must choose the menu, of course."
"Oh, my," he thought, not knowing what to say.
"Be quick about it," suggested the spelling bee. "I'm famished, F-A-M-I-S-H-E-D.
As Milo tried to think, there was an ear-shattering blast of trumpets, entirely off-key. And a page announced to the startled guests,
"King Azaz, the Unabridged."
The king strode through the door and over to the table and settled his great bulk onto the throne, calling irritably,
"Places, everyone, take your places."
He was the largest man Milo had ever seen, with a great stomach, large, piercing eyes, a gray beard that reached to his waist, and a silver signet ring in the little finger of his left hand. He also wore a small crown and a robe with the letters of the alphabet beautifully embroidered all over it.
"What have we here?"
he said, staring down at Tok and Milo as everyone else took his place.
"If you please," said Milo, "my name is Milo and this is Tok. Thank you very much for inviting us to your banquet, and I think your palace is beautiful."
"Exquisite,"
corrected the Duke.
"Lovely,"
counseled the minister.
"Handsome,"
recommended the Count.
"Pretty,"
hinted the Earl.
"Charming,"
submitted the Undersecretary.
"Silence,"
suggested the King.
"Now, young man, what can you do to entertain us? Sing songs, tell stories, compose sonnets, juggle plates, do tumbling tricks? Which is it?"
I can't do any of those things,"
admitted Milo.
"What an ordinary little boy,"
commented the king.
"Why, my cabinet members can do all sorts of things. The duke here can make mountains out of molehills. The minister splits hairs. The count makes hay while the sun shines, and the earl leaves no stone unturned. And the undersecretary," he finished ominously, "hangs by a thread."
"Can't you do anything at all?"